In the Booth with Matt Park is brought to you by Hoffman Sausage Company.
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a columnist.
I don't believe what I just saw!
You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Personally, I think you got hosed on that call.
Yeah, yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-ball players and people that are, you know, in broadcast.
How about a talk show host?
This is In the Booth.
Talk show host, that's good.
I think I'd be good at that. I talk to people all the time.
With Matt Park.
So proof in Seth's update, I'm not completely out of my mind. I'm excited about that.
It didn't have complete proof of that.
No, it's circumstantial evidence. But Brian can be my witness. I said that out loud in the office a couple days ago, that I think surreptitiously they changed the game from the 8th to the 7th, the Georgia Tech road game. Nobody cares. It's way off in the distance. For most of you around here, it's just a television show or a radio broadcast. You'll adjust as needed. But for those of us that are looking ahead and making schedules, those things do matter. And I was working on this being December 8th. So Coach Sadlin says, hey, I can't make that game. That's the one game on the schedule I can't make. St. Bonaventure is honoring a bunch of people, Coach Sadlin included. That weekend, he'll be there.
That's a bully time in Olean.
Right, so we arranged for a fill-in to be announced at a later time. But Brian, you were there. I was working in the office the other day. I said, wait a minute. That game now shows up as the 7th on the Syracuse schedule, and I went to confirm on the Georgia Tech schedule as well. So now they're telling me, oh, they're considering moving it.
Maybe you split the difference and just play in the middle of the night.
That's right. Well, which is about
midnight.
About the time it takes you to walk from the locker room to the court at Georgia Tech. So,
yeah, there's a lot going on there at McCamish.
So if you schedule a 7 o'clock game, you could probably find your way to the court by midnight.
Yeah, so maybe that's what it is.
So trust,
it still hasn't proved you're not going crazy,
well,
but on that topic.
For this moment, I am going crazy. But for this particular item, it's good to know that I didn't invent that we thought it was the 8th. Now it could be the 7th,
so
or maybe not.
Half of Sadlin on the plane and figure it out?
I think he'll probably still... I have to figure that the conflict is with a Saturday. I haven't looked at the St. Bonaventure schedule, but
that would probably make more sense.
I would imagine whatever they're doing is on a Saturday there, and so he was talking about that, so that means he couldn't travel with us to Atlanta.
I assume there
it was listed as a noon game. Then the other thing they're talking about is, you know, football banquet here, which is, again, not to be... finalized, but that could be that weekend as well, barring, of course, a ACC championship game appearance, which at this point seems unlikely, but that's why you set goals, and that's why you have the rest of the season. The Orange are 0-2 in conference play, and we'll take it from there. Pittsburgh in the Dome Friday night. I thought we would share with you a couple highlights off of the Dino Babers show last night. Again, we're a little bit off schedule this week because the game is Friday. So because Saturday is Friday, Thursday was Wednesday this week. We had the Dino Babers show last night at Press Room Pub. Good turnout as usual. A little bit down when we have the weeknight games. We'll be back on a regular schedule starting Thursday of next week and going into the 3:30 Florida State game on Saturday the 26th. So regular rhythm of the Thursday Dino Babers shows out at Press Room Pub. And as I told you, Brian, yesterday I had a few things I wanted to run by Coach to get a little bit more answer on in terms of his approach to this game. You want to know what kinds of things can we see different? What creativity will he come up with to move the football more effectively? And I think the short version is he thinks right now it's not like any drastic changes need to be made. It's just finish better, get better red zone production, and get clear of these penalties, which obviously have had major impact on both sides of the ball. So that's one thing.
That is one thing.
That's two things, really. That's two. The other we were curious about was the wildcat or direct snap to Abdul Adams.
That was interesting because it seemed to be working a little bit there.
Yes. When first downs were hard to come by early in the game, they got first down going. And then we asked Coach about it last night, and he said, look, it was somewhat effective. We thought it was petering out. Didn't think that it would be effective for the long haul. And so they basically got out of it as quickly as they got into it. But I think one thing that's interesting about that is that it is now in their toolbox potentially for down the road. We're going to have Adam Terry on the show in a bit, and we can discuss this with him perhaps, that should there be a long-term injury to Tommy DeVito or something serious, or if still things aren't working offensively, at least they're maybe developing something new.
And, you know, it's on tape, as football coaches like to say, so it is something that I'm sure Pitt had to spend time prepping for this week, and every team will spend time prepping for the rest of the season, whether they run it again or not. But they ran it three plays, gained 15 yards. Obviously, a first down was involved in that, and then did not run it again the rest of the game. I found it interesting. Dino always thinks about things just slightly differently than everybody else, which I think is what makes him successful.
And yes.
And
when you say things, you mean everything.
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 I mean, literally everything. Slightly different. Like, some football coaches, I feel, say they're thinking about it differently than everything else, but it's exactly the same as you're thinking about it. Dino was running that, or at least he said that he thought they were going to pop like a 40-yard run or whatever, and that would kind of kickstart the offense and get it going. And I don't think that's how the rest of us would think about the Wildcat, and I think that's what makes it interesting with Dino, because he says, oh, you know, we gotta spark the offense, not with something different, because this is something that might pop. Okay, it didn't pop. Let's go back to something else. And kept it moving and, you know, went back to calling the normal offense. I found that interesting, and that is how his philosophy works in so many ways, that we're doing this, and we're not just doing this because it's different. We're doing this because it's different with this exceedingly specific goal in mind, and if it works, then we'll do it again, and if it doesn't, we've got these other things to do. And in our mind, it looked like it worked because they got a first down. In his mind, he had already decided, okay, that's great. This is completely unsustainable for what we're doing right now. We're moving on to something else. But he had that planned out ahead of time, and I find that fascinating of how he goes throughout that process. That's kind of different than how we're sitting there watching the football game.
For those of you scoring at home, the Orange have exactly 2 40-yard runs for the season.
He was going for 3.
He wanted a third. 2 is in the middle of the pack in the country. So they are not growing on trees. In other words, only 30 schools have even 3 40-yard runs. Only 17 schools have 4. So it's not that common. The leaders in the country at this point, halfway through the season, have 7 40-yard runs. Okay, 3 schools have that. One of them happens to be Western Michigan. Syracuse has that big burst by Tommy DeVito early in the Western Michigan game, right?
Yeah, he went 62.
Yeah, and a 42-yard touchdown run by Mo Neal, which, if I'm not mistaken, was in the same game.
And Tommy also had a 30-some-odd in that same game.
Yeah. And so that's about it for the longest runs of the season, and there may or may not be opportunity for that, but they aren't stopping trying just yet. I'm really excited for this game tomorrow night just to see what iteration of this is it going to be. Both teams really want to get after the passer from a defensive standpoint.
Both teams got some guys to do it,
and,
too.
And they do, and you certainly want to when you play from the lead, and if a team could get a 10 or 14-point lead in this game, now you can, as they say in football speak, pin the ears back.
You get a hand in the dirt, you come after.
I have never actually seen any person, football player or otherwise, with their ears pinned back, but I would imagine that makes you more aerodynamic and able to get past the offensive line toward the quarterback. So,
should ask Chris Frederick about that. He's an engineering major, and
there you go.
I'm sure he's had a class in aerodynamics and mm-hmm. stuff like that at some point.
Okay, so we'll put that on the list for the frizz. But there haven't been lead changes in Syracuse games this year. This one I would hope is an exciting back and forth game, as it typically is with Pittsburgh. But I think if a team is able to kind of get up early in this one, they're going to make it miserable for the other team's quarterback. Both, you know, certainly in Tommy DeVito's case, has been shown to be prone to sacks. He's had 8 of them in each of the 2 conference games. If Syracuse gets sacked 8 times in this one, it's hard to imagine that they win the game.
Well, it was weird last year. It was a 1-score game. I mean, obviously, it was overtime. 5 of the last 7 in this series are 1-score games, many of them 1-point or 3-point games. Syracuse lost it at OT last year. But last year was one of the rare occasions that I can remember in a Pitt game that it was close, but at the same time, it was close, but all over the place. Syracuse is up 14-0, and there were these wild momentum swings. Usually, the Pitt-Syracuse game is you're biting your nails from the first minute because nobody can get away from the other team, and it's a one-score game the whole game. So that was different last year, and I'm not expecting a repeat of that. It feels more like these teams are going to be glued together the whole way, and I'd be much more surprised if it's something other than that.
And Pitt just had that, right, where they were up big against Duke and coughed that all up.
The whole
and,
thing, they had to win in the final minute.
And which they did. So Pitt has won three in a row by a total margin of 7 points. On the show for you today, it's a Thursday at 2:15. We'll have Adam Terry. He'll be our guest in just a moment. Then we'll visit with Tommy Powell of the Academic Affairs Office for Syracuse, really the gentleman that orchestrates the entire academic support wing and has done tremendous work raising the academic profile of student athletes. They've got some news they'd like to boast, so we'll touch base with Tommy on that a bit later in our show. We do also have tickets to the Pittsburgh game to give away. Stay tuned for how you can do that. Adam Terry on the other side, brought to you by the Hoffman Sausage Company. This is In the Booth on ESPN Radio.
In the Booth with Matt Park is brought to you by Hoffman Sausage Company.
It is indeed. Hoffman Sausage, born in Germany, raised in Syracuse. Hoffman Taste Tells. Looking forward to just need one more day of nice weather. It was brutal yesterday. The Yankees right to call their game, and they're going to have to play in something similar to that tonight. But if it was nice weather, Friday night game, we'd get Adam Terry over early from Rochester, just fire up that grill at the office, I think, and get those Hoffman that they dropped off last week. We could get those in action. I think it would be a good time.
Let's do it.
There he is, Adam Terry, brought to us by Davidson Ford of Clay on the line. Hello, Adam. What do you think, man? We'll grill him up. Kind of running out of the nice fall days, but that could be a good way to get headed into a Friday night fight with Pittsburgh.
It's a great tailgating. It's great tailgating season right now. You know, a little hot cocoa, maybe a little cider warmed up, some brats, some hot dogs, some burgers. I think it's going to be a great day to. To get out there, a little chilly, but it'll be a great day to get out there and throw some grub on the grill and let it roll.
Chili would be another thing that you could
is that
have.
The weather or the food option.
Let me blow your minds here, boys. Regular listener John from Holland Patton has been emailing this week about his tailgate.
He is prepared
now. He's just flat showing off. He says that they are presenting at their tailgate tomorrow a ripoff of the Primanti Brothers sandwich, where they're going to make the fries right there and put them on a fried bologna situation. That's kind of like a Marone meets Pittsburgh. I mean, you can get the fried bologna at Primanti Brothers, too, but that was also a Doug Marone special, the bologna.
So he's showing off, but did he give you what lot and where he's
going
to
be? Yeah, we'll get you up there. If you want to come over early, we'll get you up there.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, he said they're setting up at 10 to be ready by noon, so if you want to get over that early, I'll go up there with you.
Is it below the dome or is it up at Skytop?
Skytop. But that's all right.
Okay.
I don't think that at that early they're super vigilant about parking. And you're Adam Terry, so you could get through anyway. And then you also have a pickup, so we could get in the back. And
that's how you tailgate.
That's right. Ride right in there. So I'm excited about that.
Drop the tailgate down and really get after it.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun time. All right, man. You've had a little time to kind of get your thoughts geared up for this game and watch some film and that type of stuff. What's top of mind at the moment?
I think top of mind for me is I look at the rest of the schedule and I sound like a broken record a little bit, but I think Syracuse has the potential to be in every game the rest of the year. You know, specifically this one, it's as long as Syracuse doesn't beat themselves, they win this game. And, you know, that's hard to say. Last week they didn't put up a lot of points. But, you know, Matt, you and I are in the booth and we're talking to Higgins on the sideline. It's a situation where it just felt like they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. Now, penalty-wise, it didn't amount to what it initially seemed. But, you know, between sacks, which Pittsburgh can get after the quarterback, and penalties that were self-inflicted by Syracuse last week, you know, those are things that I'm looking forward to see how Coach Lynch responds to. Are they going to go into a little bit more max protection and get down the field? And also, how are they going to start to run the football? And, you know, the running of the football just brings out the balance in the Syracuse offense. But what guy, Abdul Adams or Mo Neal, or are we going to see a little bit more Jarvion Howard? Who is going to start to spark that run? Because they have shown a lot of balance this year. And it's one thing that needs to get going, because when you get behind on the sticks, when you get behind on the downs, and you're not moving the football, then you have to sling it a little bit more than you anticipate.
I'm curious, Adam. You said it. Pitt knows how to get after the quarterback, Jalen Twyman, in the middle of their line. He's changed his number to wear Aaron Donald's number. I just don't like the sound of that. That's kind of frightening to begin with. Kylan Johnson's a guy in from Florida. Each of them have 7 sacks. When you look at a guy that's capable of coming up the middle, and then Johnson, who's capable of getting into the backfield from different spots, how does the Orange offensive line, which has obviously struggled, deal with a pair like that that's coming from different spots?
It's going to have to be creatively. You know, and it might be a little bit more run action to see. Syracuse does a good job on a counter pass. So they show counter action. They pull the guard out in front of them, and it allows a better pocket that's moved away from midline for DeVito to set up and throw the ball. They've seen a couple good shots with that, but also it's going to be, you're going to have to put another guy, you're going to have to leave another guy in there. So I don't know. You're either going to go, hey, I'm going to go 5 wide and I'm going to dink and dunk and I'm going to get this ball out fast, or, hey, I'm going to have to take a shot down the field every once in a while, and we're going to do that with a max protection, 2 men down the field, and sling it down and hope Tristan Jackson can continue to get pass interferences and come down with a football.
Adam Terry's our guest, brought to us, as always, by the Davidson Ford of Clay. It's the Orange in Pittsburgh, Friday night, 7 o'clock in the Dome. And this is one where, you know, Pat Narduzzi, I think you kind of forget from year to year that he's kind of that way. And he likes to stoke the fire a little bit. So you can see really from both sides. And I don't know if we want to build it up to big of the greatest rivalry of all time necessarily, but this one does mean a little bit more, and there's certainly effort from Pittsburgh side, and I would say Syracuse has a respectful point of view about this longtime series history, but it's apparent to everybody involved that this is a big game for both sides.
It's a big game for both sides. It really starts to set the table. I don't think Syracuse right now, we can say, hey, they're going to win all of them, or they're going to win half, or they're not going to win any the rest of the season. Right now, it's kind of setting that table. You've gotten through some of these, lack of a better term, softer games. You know, playing against, you know, in Pittsburgh's case, they play against Delaware and almost lose. Mm-hmm. You know, in Syracuse's case, they Holy Cross and they beat them up pretty good. You're going into the ACC. You're already 1 to 2 games deep into it for Syracuse. And now it's going to be, in my eyes, what it used to be in the Big East slate. Anybody can win any day of the week. And Pat Narduzzi is that old school Youngstown State where his dad coached, Michigan State. Hey, we're gonna line the ball up. We're going to hit you in the mouth. But the thing that they do a little bit differently this year is they're able to get that ball out. And you can see that with French and Matt combining for 91 total receptions so far.
That's Adam. How weird is that with Pitt? I mean, we're talking about, at least in recent vintage, LeSean McCoy begat James Conner. Last year we saw Darren Hall and Kadri Olison both go north of 100 in the Syracuse game and both ran for more than 1,000. It's weird to see Pitt flinging it around a little bit. How different is this for them, and how hard is it to kind of change paths like that on offense?
Well, a balanced offense is going to be difficult for Syracuse because, you know, I still look at that defensive tackle position and they're doing a good job, but they're missing a key player in Bear Williams. Getting after him in the pass rush, I think they're going to be effective in it, but it's going to be that, hey, do you insert a safety in? Do you take a guy that's in the back end, insert him from the safety position for the run, and when they do that, they might go over the top. So it's going to be that chess match of hey, we might have to get after them a little bit with the blitz. And when we do so, we have to be prepared to be in the right spot so that you don't get gashed. Because I think it's just going to be that quick little chess match of either Brian Ward tips his hand early or he's starting to bait the check of the play from a pass to a run or vice versa.
This one, you know, we set the stage, I think, for the final seven games of the season. They're all going to be about the chess match because the talent will more or less be even the rest of the way. I really see it in this game. I think Syracuse is going to have to scheme its way to getting the offense going. They're going to have to find a way to protect the quarterback better. And it's not like the offensive line is going to have magically improved from 1 week to the next, and they're going against a good pass rush. And both teams, you know, to me, Adam, getting it early, I've said it all week, getting the lead early in this game feels like it's a big deal. I think both teams want to have some confidence, feel some momentum, and then turn the pass rushers loose.
100%. You're going to have to get out early. If you look at what Pitt has done over the last three games, they've won by seven total points. That's not seven total points per game. It's seven total points in the last three games that they're winning them by. So when you're looking at a team like that, they have confidence coming into it. And they're saying, hey, if it gets down to the wire, we know that we're the better team. We've shown it the past 3 weeks. You know, Syracuse, on the other hand, is a little bit, hey, if it comes to a tight game and that pass rush is coming at us, I don't know how much confidence is really there right now. There's always a story to be written, and for a situation for Syracuse right now, it's, you know, what are they going to be the rest of the year? And with the understanding, last year was a phenomenal year, but some of these guys have to understand, and that's coming from the veteran leaders, the coaching staff, how difficult it is to win football games. I've been on teams that have significant talent, and this is a Syracuse team that is starting to show that they have talent. Now they got to put it all together, and it's the little things that they haven't been doing right. They've been doing some great things, but it's the little things, the penalties, specifically holding, jumping off sides, not lining up appropriately. Those are the things that when they polish that up, sending themselves back, and they have the opportunity to now get ahead early and win some football games.
Okay, my man, we'll look forward to this one certainly Friday, and if you want to come up early, we'll try to do that. We'll storm the tailgates up at Skytop, announce our presence with authority, and really get off to a good start on a weeknight game day.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
Love it. All right, Adam Terry from Davidson Ford of Clay. You can hear us on the broadcast tomorrow night. Brian and company out on the quad at 5 on TK99, and then the rest of the proceedings going from there, 7 o'clock kickoff, a nationally televised game. We had Paul Carcaterra on earlier in the week, the former Syracuse lacrosse star, is the sideline reporter for this ESPN broadcast. Dave Fleming, who has a grad degree from Syracuse, will be on the play-by-play call television-wise tomorrow night as well. When we come back, we'll flip on to the academic side of Syracuse athletics, some recent success to announce. We'll do that when we return on the In the Booth program.
In the Booth with Matt Park is brought to you by Hoffman Sausage Company.
Good to have you back with us on the show, In the Booth on ESPN Radio Syracuse. We'll tell you how you can win tickets to the Pittsburgh football game, which is tomorrow night. We'll do that later in the show. We'll have a little giveaway. Gave away a pair yesterday. Love to see as many people as possible in the house for that one. We also like to welcome in on the Burdick Toyota guest line our friend Tommy Powell from the Syracuse Athletics Department. Tommy has the longest title in the building, but also a very important one. Hello, Tommy. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on.
Tommy is the assistant provost for student-athlete academic development and has made a big impact. And your announcement yesterday, Tommy, was that the GSR graduate student rate, right?
Graduation success rate.
Success rate. I'm sorry. Right. Success. I would even fail that. I'm sorry. But 93%, which is a program high, tied for 12th among Power 5 schools. And the best programs in that area, keep on keeping on. We'll get into that. But how about an overview in terms of what it took to get to this level?
Well, you know, so Matt, this metric was created back in 2004 by the NCAA. It really takes into account students who enter on athletics aid, and then they track those students for 6 years to see if they graduate or not. The nice part about the GSR is that it actually allows a little bit more fluidness for student athletes to transfer in and out of an institution in a cohort. The traditional way of tracking graduation is the federal rate, which is, you know, you enter in the fall semester, regardless if you go somewhere else and graduate, doesn't count. GSR takes into account students who leave in good academic standing and actually come into your university and graduate. I'll give you a little quiz. You know, we had a student athlete, men's basketball, played 1 year at Duke University, then transferred here. You remember who that person was?
I do.
So that person would be considered a non-graduate of Duke in the federal rate.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Exactly. And so that person came here, obviously graduated, so we get to count him. He doesn't count against Duke. And so it's a much more accurate picture of how well we're doing with the student-athletes who come to Syracuse University and actually how well we're doing graduating them.
So it's good that the metrics are getting better, and that student-athlete you're talking about, obviously, is Michael Benesche, who's playing professionally in Germany right now.
Absolutely.
And the system, first of all, somebody that's, you know, recruited to play at Duke and then recruited to play at Syracuse, in essence, that's a sharp cookie, right? And he ought not count as an offer to either school as long as he's doing what it takes to remain academically viable. And obviously, Michael's a conscientious guy and did the right things there. So the metrics sound like they're getting better, too. I was curious, when somebody goes pro early, which at Syracuse and certainly our listeners that are, you know, following football and basketball, we know that that happens regularly in basketball across America. Syracuse has actually been in a situation where in men's soccer is a sport where they've been fortunate that just the way that the culture of that sport is, they can sometimes come and poach people out of college, and those guys are having success in professional soccer. Does that count as an offer?
Yeah, no. So it really depends on how they both enter and leave your institution. So if they have done the job in the classroom and leave in good academic standing, then they typically do not hurt your GSR. So that's the nice part about this, is that it's not going to penalize you if they're leaving in good standing. If they just blow off their classes and go away, then they're going to count against you. So it really has to do with the good academic standing when they both enter and leave your institution.
So you lean on the tone that's set by the director of athletics, John Wildhack, the coaches individually, right? And then the academic support people that you have assigned to each team.
Absolutely. That's you said it perfectly, because it's the faculty, it's the athletic director's vision, it's the, you know, the people that work every day, and the coaches are just a huge part of what we do. You know, so we put our student athletes through what I like to call a system. That system is, as a freshman, they come in and there's, you know, we did 20,000 individual tutorial hours last year. That's incredible. It's a huge number, and you know, obviously GPAs, APR, GSRs, those numbers are just a lot of letters, but those numbers are, you know, incredible when you take a look at it at the end of the year. And we can't do that without support from you know, athletics director, our coaches, and the campus as well. And so we put our student athletes in a system when they first arrive, and that system has proven to be effective. And what I like to tell moms, dads, aunts, uncles when they come on an official visit here is, you know, if your son, daughter, person comes to Syracuse University, stays here, you know, the likelihood of them graduating is going to be really great. And that number is 93% right now. And, you know, individually, I tell them it's either going to be 0 or 100%, right? You've got to come in and do this. But I think our number being as high as it is shows that we've got the support to get them through. As long as they have the willpower to get through themselves, we can make sure that happens. And that changes lives. When student athletes are able to come here, leave Syracuse University with a meaningful degree, they then go off and be a great alumni and hopefully come back and want to support what we're doing here.
Tommy Powell, the Assistant Provost for Student-Athlete Academic Development, our guest. And Tommy, I'm always curious about the student-athletes that have the especially challenging majors. We know how time-consuming it is to play a scholarship-level sport at a major university like Syracuse. I just had a great conversation with Chris Frederick earlier this week, who's a computer engineering major, and he's far from the only one that you deal with. How do they handle the extraordinary time commitment, I'd say, with some of these majors on top of the sport?
Yeah, it really starts, I go back to that freshman year when they first come in. Really, most of them get here the summer before their freshman year. And we start a really intensive, what we call an instructional assistant or academic mentoring program with them. It's really helping them keep things out in front of them. So just imagine this. know, our football coach wouldn't dream of just saying, hey, guys, we're going to play Pitt Friday night, so you guys show up at the Dome a little bit before 7, and we'll kick off and go. There's a system in place that they're getting ready for that game every single day. We employ that same type of system in the academic support world, making sure that everything is out in front of them. They know what papers, assignments, all quizzes are coming up, and we're working towards those objectives so that they can be successful in the classroom. And what we do in that freshman year is really teach them intensive time management skills, how to balance between being a Division I Power 5 student athlete at this level and also in you know, a very challenging major, and how to keep all those assignments out in front of you and not get behind. And what we found is that program has really worked well. And you know, eventually, after their freshman year and into their sophomore and junior year, then they've learned those skills. And then our job is just to make sure that we're supporting them in whatever way that we can, whether it be with tutoring, the academic coordinating piece, the scheduling piece, all that to make sure they've got a nice balanced load so that they can be successful.
Quickly with Tommy Powell, just two more things. And one, let's throw some light on these teams that year after year have achieved 100% in the graduation success rate. So women's lacrosse, volleyball, tennis, 100% every year. They're a lock. It's 8 years in a row for all three of those sports.
Yep.
Women's lacrosse are All-American. Mm-hmm. Volleyball and tennis at this institution, not always, but here, are all European for the most part. But what is it about the cultures that they're coming from and the support that they're getting when they're here that makes that the slam dunk that it appears to be for them?
Well, it's great. It really starts with our coaches, right? It starts with the coaches who are recruiting the students to come in, and you know, one of the first visits is going to be in our office, and they're going to meet with us, they're going to meet with faculty, and they're choosing Syracuse because of the great academics. And so when that culture is established on the front end, it's a whole lot easier for that student athlete to come in here and really kind of come into a culture, a system that's in place for them to be successful. Well, we do have a number of international student athletes. We've gone out, we've hired French tutors. We've done things so that we can meet them where they are to make sure that they have a nice, smooth transition into this university. So coaches, administration, and well, we can't say enough about the great faculty that we have here that welcome them with open arms as well.
All right, lastly, Tommy, a couple of your previous institutions are Iowa State and a little thing called Louisiana State.
Yeah.
And the Bayou Bengals look like they're, if not now, when, right?
Exactly, you're right.
Loaded. I mean, is this the year?
Well, you know, I really think Syracuse football is the year every year, right? And I always tell people that they're the ones who definitely support me and pay the bills.
There you go.
But I will say, LSU looks good this year, no doubt.
They do. All right, my man. We'll turn you loose on that big one. Well, certainly LSU's got big ones every weekend. Big one here Friday night for the Orange and Pitt. And we appreciate the time. Keep up the good work.
You guys are great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tommy Powell from the Athletic Academic Development Team up at SU, 93% on the graduation success rate.
Like I said, you're either 100% or 0%.
Well, that's what he was about that. He had this game face on there. We couldn't even...
Can't argue with that.
He couldn't even pop one of his previous stops there, LSU. He wanted no part of it. Good for him.
Go Tigers.
All right, we've got tickets to give away to the Pittsburgh game. We'll do that right now. Caller number six. Caller six at 315-437-7644. That's 437-7644. 4 ESPN 44. Caller six. You're going to the Syracuse Pitt game on the house. We'll do that next. Come back to take you for the stretch run in just a moment in the booth on ESPN Radio.
Do we care?
Interesting.
I doubt it.
No, wait. The other thing. Tedious.
But we will do this segment anyway.
Don't care anymore. Don't care no more.
The Yankees and the Astros got into somewhat of a screaming match, actually, as it was reported, during Game 1 between the two clubhouses, or the two dugouts, because the Yankees were accusing the Astros of whistling to steal signs in Game 1. Now, Ken Rosenthal, this morning, tweeted out, "The Yankees suspected the Astros used a whistling sound from the dugout in Game 1 as a way to convey signs to hitters. Per sources, MLB investigated and found Astros did not engage in any activities prohibited by MLB policies." Do we believe the MLB, or are they just kind of shutting it down?
If it's only whistling, that's not against any policy. My position on this is pretty much going to be the same on any variety of what we hear here. If you come by it naturally, as long as we're not talking about electronic stuff, we're not talking about video coaches, we're not talking about a camera in the outfield or somebody in the hotel in Toronto, all that. If it's based on just what you see, what you correlate to the action, what are we talking about? They whistled, like the runner at second base whistled if it was a fastball.
Well, no,
that's totally fair.
It's people from the dugout seeing it on a camera and then whistling it to batter. So Ken Rosenthal's next tweet was, teams are prohibited from signaling two hitters from the dugout through whistling or other means. MLB had an official in the camera well next to the Astros dugout in Game 1 and one in the back of the dugout in Game 2. Neither officials nor umpires heard whistling. And the Yankees also won that Game 1 7-0. Yeah.
You know, you can't – I think if you're using camera aids, that's unfair. I think if the runner at second base does it, that's fine. Also, if you want to hit him in the ear hole, that's how it works.
Still in favor of the hitting in the ear hole, though?
Huh?
You're okay.
I mean, I don't mean literally. I would prefer not to be throwing the ball at their heads. But I don't know if you're going to. I'm in favor of players policing.
Okay. More Yankee news from Game 3. There's a fan going viral a little bit for, and I want to get your guys' take on if your team stand up and cheer for it or sit down and let's relax.
Let's go, Polo! Everybody! We got to get up. We're playing cold. This is the game right here. Get up! Let's go! I don't understand. I don't understand why you paid all these tickets if you don't want to win the game. I don't understand. Could it be me? Would it be me? Shall not be me. I will not sit with two outs in the American League Championship
Good luck.
Series.
Yeah, I wouldn't be friends with this guy.
Really? You don't like the energy? He's sitting.
It's
he
baseball.
Paid $500. He's in the legend seats. If that changes anything, so he's paying a lot of money. Being told, also there's a video of him being told to sit down, which is always the worst when someone behind you is telling you to sit down.
Yeah, that's lame.
Horrible.
I mean, I would sort of let him do it, but this would not enhance my enjoyment of the game. Maybe a little different playoffs, whatever. Dude, you're not affecting the game. You're not playing the game. Let's watch the game.
The fans absolutely have an effect on it.
Stop, Tommy.
Don't tell me to sit down or stand up. I don't want you to tell me to sit down. I don't want you to tell me to stand up.
That's why there's a home field advantage.
Yeah, in football, basketball. I mean, it's a little much. I mean, this guy's, I don't know. This is not the way I consume baseball. But, you know, I'd be on my two outs, two strikes in the ninth and whatever. I'd be on my feet, absolutely. I'll be on my feet tomorrow, football. That's more like it.
How's you won't be sound? On your feet tonight? Game 4 must win for the Yankees? You're a Yankee fan.
No, I'll be on my couch. Actually, I will probably be working in the office at home, but I'll be watching, and that's it. I can't
stand it up
the game.
In the living room, getting into it.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us back with the show on Monday. Let's see you at the Dome tomorrow.